Today, we'd like to see the title, Hard Lesson, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 6, and verses 1 through 14. For online courses, pupils, we'd like to suggest the three questions. Number one, in verse 2, Son of a man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. Why did God ask Ezekiel to prophesy against the mountains of Israel rather than people? Question 2. In verse 7, the slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. What do you see God's characteristics? The last question. In this chapter, what's God's goal over this hard way to give a lesson to Judah? Ezekiel was the prophet during reign of Zedekiah, Judah king, the last king of Judah, during 592 through 570 BC. During 22 years, Ezekiel prophesied to southern nation and Judah people. That time, Jeremiah also prophesied to Judah people, but Jeremiah was older than Ezekiel. From chapters 1 to 24, talking about God's judgment to be sure. Chapter 25 through 32, talking about judgment against the Gentile nations to be. Chapter 33 through 48, last chapter, talking about multiple prophecy in the future. Number one, free from Babylon captivity for 40 years to Israel people. Number two, Israel nation will be restored. But in historically, Israel was established May 14th in 1948. Last prophecy is Millennial Kingdom is coming. Chapter 6 of the book of Ezekiel, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, me meaning Ezekiel, so the prophet is a person who delivers God's word without addition nor deletion, saying, Son of a man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. First of all, God asked Ezekiel to prophesy toward the mountains of Israel rather than the people of Judah. The question one, why? So before that, chapter 36, also God asked Ezekiel to prophesy toward the mountain of Israel. But chapter 36, basically restoration. But here, chapter 6, judgment against Israel people or the southern nation in Judah. But chapter 36, for Judah people restoration. Example, verses 8 through 11, chapter 6. You, O mountain of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come. For indeed I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all over it. And the cities shall be inhabited, and the ruins rebuilt. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times, and do better for you than at your beginnings. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So chapter 36, God delivered through Ezekiel to restore Israel. But chapter 6 here, judgment against Judah. There's a question, why did God ask Ezekiel to prophesy against the mountains of Israel? The answer, the reason, number one, the mountain of Israel at that time, there were a lot of idols, you know, on the top of the mountain. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, we can see here a lot of idols. The Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king. Josiah was a good king. He tried to obey God. Have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? Here, Israel meaning northern nation. So that time, northern nation Israel was already conquered by another foreign country named Assyria. She had gone up on every high mountain, under every green tree, and there played the harlot, which meaning idolatry, the idol worshippers. So Israel, northern Israel people were idol worshippers. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. So, because God asked the northern nation Israel people, return to me. But northern nation Israel people never returned to God. That's why God punished northern nation through Assyria, foreign nation. Exactly, southern nation Judah also saw what happened in northern nation Israel. Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery. Here, committed adultery means spiritual adultery or idolatry, idol worshippers. So when we believe in God, we can worship only God, not anything else. Here, adultery meaning, you know, other gods. You know, at that time, you know, popular gods, you know, such as Moloch, excitement god, or Baal, human knowledge god, or Ashtoreth, the goddess, the sex goddess, sex pleasure, also mammon, possession or money, or a sun god. The Pharaoh means the son of a sun god, and that means the Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the title of an Egyptian king. So here, that's why, you know, God, you know, asked Ezekiel to prophesy toward the mountain of Israel, because mountain of Israel had a lot of idols, you know, idols, the pagan gods. Also, first of all, they didn't listen to God's word. That's why God, you know, prophesied toward the mountain. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 19, you know, also one example. Hear, O earth. So because the Judah people never listened to God's word, that's why hear, O earth. So Jeremiah also prophesied toward the earth. Behold, look, I will certainly bring calamity on these people, the fruit of their thorns, because they have not heeded my word. Specifically, God said through Jeremiah, because they, Judah nation, have not paid attention to me. That's why I spoke through Jeremiah to the earth. Nor my law, but rejected it. Also, the similar thing, Luke chapter 19, verse 39 and 40, Jesus also talks about the silence over his disciples, because the Pharisees asked Jesus, his disciples silent, don't say Hosanna, Hosanna, or Jesus is a Messiah, Savior, don't say so. Here, and some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, these disciples should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. The stones, because stones are also creature of God or creature of Jesus Christ. So that's the reason, that's why God asked Ezekiel to speak out and toward the mountain of Israel. That time is the popular idols as we already explained, idolatry, Ashtoreth, Molech, Mammon, Baal, Sun. Verse 3, and say, O mountain of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord of God to the mountains. God's word, words delivered to the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys. Indeed, I will bring a sword against you. I will destroy your high place. Here, sword. So I will punish you with sword through which Babylon, actually Babylon country, I will bring a sword, which meaning God allowed Babylon to punish the Judah people with sword because of idolatry. Then you altars shall be desolate. Altars meaning idol altars shall be desolate. Your incense altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men, meaning your killed men before your idols. So dead bodies before your idols. And I will lay the corpses meaning dead bodies of the children of Israel before their idols, because the idols could not save or deliver the idol worshippers from the invasion of Babylon because your idolatry. So God, prophesied through Ezekiel to punish Judah nation. I will scatter your bones all around your altars in all your dwelling places or in your homes. The cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolated, so that your altars, meaning idol altars, not God altars, idol altars may be laid waste and made desolate. Your idols may be broken. So most of them idol made by wood, or made by iron, or made by gold, like that. So in my childhood, I used to be Buddhist. So when I followed my parents, so we usually in South Korea, the temple, Buddha temple, located on the top of a mountain. So I worship it, the Buddha. Buddha and a certain Buddha covered with gold. Actual gold cover. Inside is mud, but outside, gold cover. So we worship that, and we ask for certain requests like that. So I understood this situation, but the God doesn't like idol or worshippers at all. Your idols may be broken and made to cease. Your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished it, destroyed your works, because you made idols, a lot of idols. Those works shall be destroyed. The slain, verse 7, the slain shall fall in your midst, or the killed people shall be among you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. This is a question to you. This particular verse, what do you see? God's characters. Here, God's characters, the slain shall fall in your midst. The first part, we know that God is justice. God will not compromise with any evil. God is justice. God is righteousness. That's why, you know, you commit a sin, you do not repent your sin, so in his time, you will be punished. So that's why the slain shall fall in your midst. So we can see God's justice, but also we see God's love. And you shall know that I am the Lord. That time, Israel people, Judah nation, shall know that I, meaning Jehovah, is the Lord. The Lord meaning master, the leader, the controller. So to know that. Here we can see, you know, God's love, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 through 20. Disciple Paul talks about, you know, through the Holy Spirit, you know, Christians, you know, Ephesian Christians, you may be able to comprehend, understand with all the saints, meaning all the Christians, what is width, length, and depth, height. Width, length, depth, height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which means beyond our comprehension, beyond our knowledge, the Jesus' love, God's love, extremely huge, width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do, now to Jesus Christ who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So basically you pray to the Lord will give you love, how much? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask, we pray, we think. So that much God's love is huge. Also, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because God loved us so much, that's why he gave his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us. So, huge love. So big love. So, that kind of love. So, verse 7, we can see God's two characteristics. Number one, justice. Number two, love. Okay, then verse 8, yet, however, I will leave a remnant. God said, I will punish all of them, but I will leave a remnant. I want to save a little faithful servant, faithful children of God, so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered through the countries. So that kind of thing we can see. The one example, you know, the faithful servants to the Lord, Daniel. Daniel lived in Babylon culture. Basically, Babylon, he was carried away as a captive to Babylon. So, Daniel kept his faith faithfully to the Lord in the pagan Babylonian culture. Daniel chapter 1, you know, verse 8, you know, we can see. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. But in order to keep his purity, so he quit eating the sacrifice, Babylon gods, you know, pagan gods, you know, sacrifice food. You know, that is, we can see you know, Babylon wasn't a faithful servant to the Lord. Also, we see the 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, Elijah was threatened to be killed by Israel king's wife, Isabel. Then Elijah ran away, escaped from his threat of death. Then he prayed to the Lord, kill me. You know, I don't want to live here. Dead. That time God said to Elijah, the 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So God said, 7,000 remnants, 7,000 faithful remnants, I reserve that who do not worship Baal like you. So that moment, Elijah got encouraged. So Elijah ran away into northern nation Israel, delivering, you know, God's word, you know, against pagan worshippers that time, you know, Ahab king, also his wife is Isabel, you know, as well. Also, we can see, you know, during Great Tribulation, God also reserved, you know, 144,000 faithful Israelites. Right here, Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, and I, God said, I heard the number of those who were sealed. Here, I meaning John, because John received the gospel word, you know, through Jesus Christ, he wrote it down. John said, I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Sealed from what? Sealed from the great tribulation on earth. So here, you know, we can see, you know, God's love. God, you know, still reserve, you know, certain faithful remnant, although God punished sinful people, you know, idol worshippers. Here, a remnant so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered through the countries. So a lot of, you know, around Ellen countries, that time Egypt, you know, Babylon, you know, several countries. Then those of you who escape will remember me, remember God, among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was a Christian by their adulterous heart. Adulterous meaning spiritual adultery. Adultery in a definition, a married man, married spouse, had a sexual relationship with another, you know, other than, you know, own spouse. That is called, you know, adultery. Here, you know, so when we believe in God, which meaning, likely, we have a marriage relationship with God. So God, you know, wants us to be loyal to only to God, or to love only God. So that is adulterous heart meaning, idol worshippers, which has departed from me, from God, and by their eyes which play the harlot, harlot meaning prostitute, after their idols, they will loathe themselves for the evil. They will loathe themselves, they will hate themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abomination. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain, and I would bring this calamity upon them. That meaning, so you will repent when you lost everything. So that moment you will get a lesson through hardship. That's called, you know, hard lesson. So, you know, God is so patient. If you commit a sin, God is still asking you to repent your sins, your sin. But in God's time, God will punish you because God is justice. So, but before that, we should repent. But unfortunately, we wouldn't repent our sins until we lost everything. That moment, we repent. We will loathe or we will hate what happened, what you know we did, sin. Verse 11, this says the Lord God, pound, meaning clapping, your fist, pound your fist and stamp your feet, stamp your feet and say. Here, you know, visual prophecy. Why, you know, God asked the Ezekiel to make a visual? Because a visual meaning attractive, method, attractive way, visual, more attention, pay attention to my word. This kind of thing, we can see, the Ezekiel, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, also. You also, son of man, take a clay tablet and lay it before you and portray on it a city, Jerusalem. Lay siege against it, build a siege wall against it, and heap up a mound against it, set campers against it also. Here God asked Ezekiel, you said in a certain wall, surrounding Jerusalem city, place battering rams against it all around. Moreover, take over yourself an iron plate and set it as an iron wall between you and city. Set your face against it, and it shall be besieged. And you shall lay siege against it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. So visual prophecy to Ezekiel, how Jerusalem will be defeated, show up. There's a city, the wall surrounding, enemy, surrounded, the city wall, then is invaded and destroy city. Exactly that happened at the last time of the reign of Zedekiah. Here, Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, also visual prophecy. And you, son of man, take a sharp word, take it as a barber's razor, and pass it over your head and your beard as well. Then take a scale to weigh and divide the hair. You shall burn with fire one third in the midst of the city. When the days of the city are finished, then you shall take one third and strike round it with its sword, and one third you shall scatter in the wind. Basically, God asked Ezekiel, take off your hair and beard. One third is strike with the knife, we call, but the other is one third fire. The other one third in a wind blew out, like that. So then I will draw out a sword after them. You shall also take a small number of them and bind them in the edge of your garment. Then take some of them again and throw them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire. From there, fire will go out all the house of Israel. Basically, God, asked Jeremiah, you should take an offering, your hair and beard, one of the third, fire, the other one of the blue with window, the other is one of the third, is a striker, the hair is with sword. So then, a little small portion, the final left, exactly that happened at the last king, Zedekiah. So one of the third was killed by sword, the other one of the third killed by running away. The others, one of the third, you know, got fired. But there, some remnant there. So here, you know, visual, you know, prophecy for paying attention to God's word. Here, alas meaning, you know, the bad happening, you know, alas, for all the evil abomination of the house of Israel, all the evil, all disobedient things happening, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Here, sword, famine, pestilence, which meaning complete destruction. First, the Jewish people were killed by sword. Then is a famine, meaning the enemy surrounded the walls of the city, so the citizen could not get food, you know, from outside of the city, no transportation, so they will be hungry. So that's a famine, the becoming death. Next one, pestilence. Pestilence means disease, you know. So they are, you know, the malnutrition function, mal, not enough in nutrition. So the citizen, you know, will die because of a disease. He who is far off shall die by the pestilence, by disease. He who is near shall fall by the sword. He who remains and is besieged meaning surrounded, shall die by the famine. So complete destruction. Thus will I spend my fury or my anger upon them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So finally, at that moment, you know, through hardship, finally they know I am the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord, our master. I am the Lord. When their slain are among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill, on all the mountains, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offer the sweet incense to all their idols, so I will stretch out my hand, God's hand, against them, which meaning destroy, punish them, and make the land desolate. Yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Dibla. Dibla is the southeast of the Dead Sea, beyond the Arabia wilderness. That is Dibla. Dibla in all their dwelling places, their home, towns, then they shall know that I am the Lord. Shallow that I am the Lord. Here, let's see each question. In verse 2, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. Why did God ask Ezekiel to prophesy against the mountains of Israel? Because, number one, that time, a lot of idols, the top of the mountains of Israel, that's why God asked Israel to idol worshippers, you know, to top of the mountains of Israel. Number two, because the Judah people never listened to God's word, never paid attention to God's word. That's why God spoke out to the mountains, like visually, attractive. Paying attention. Question 2, in verse 7, the slain or the killed people shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. What do you see God's characteristics? Number one, God is justice. God never compromised with evil. God never be against his own word, because God is faithful. God keeps his own word. God is never against the Bible, because God is faithful. Because God said, you know, worship only God, not, you know, other gods. You know, Exodus chapter 21, you know, the Ten Commandments, the first one is God, you know, ask Israel people worship, you know, only God, not, you know, idol, not, you know, other gods. So that kind of situation we could apply today, although we do not have, you know, actual idol, you know, image, but in my heart, we might labor something else rather than God. That is contributing, considering as either worship too. So we should love, you know, God is our only master. The other old thing is instrument, like a tool, you know, not, you know, our master at all. For example, mammon, you know, the pleasure, also humanology, you know, or sun, moon, you know, or whatever. So that's, you know, same meaning, you know, up to today. The last question in this chapter: what's God's goal of this hard way to give a lesson to Judah? Okay, question to answer: two characters. Number one is God is justice. Number two, God is love. Because God said, "You shall know that I am the Lord." So God wants to have a relationship with us, with the children of God, although the children of God commit a lot of sin. So we can see, you know, two characters. One is justice, the other love. Last question in this chapter: what's God's goal of this hard way to give a lesson to Judah? That is verse 7, verse 10, verse 13, verse 14. The four times repeated, God said, "You shall know that I am the Lord." So basically, know that I am the Lord. That is God's main goal over this chapter. So God wanted Israel people, Judah people, that you know that I am the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord. This word still applies to all the children of God, you know, from here and to our audience who believe in God. Let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer, then we'll finish today's Bible study.